So as Laura said, we're going to talk a little bit about Me Too. Happy to be with you virtually. Sure wish we could be together again on the beautiful UT campus, but we'll try and do that next year. But I'm delighted to talk on this topic because the Me Too movement seems to be a little bit out of sight right now, but it definitely should not be out of mind for employers, because while you weren't looking, a lot of state and local governments have actually enacted a lot of laws and ordinances that you should be aware of. So just to backtrack, I'm sure everybody realized what the Me Too movement is, but just to refresh on that, it's actually a phrase that was coined all the way back in 2006 by a woman named Tarana Burke, and it was meant to further a social movement against sexual assault and sexual harassment, but it really caught fire in 2017 when we had this perp walk, this unending walk of shame with top executives and well-known media types who were outed by their formerly silent victims. And then it really seemed to come to a head when actress Alyssa Milano put out a tweet saying, well, of all the women in the world who have been sexually harassed or assaulted, wrote Me Too as a status, we might get a sense of the magnitude of the problem. And of course, millions and millions of women responded to that. The tangible representation resulted in the Me Too movement being named by Time Magazine as their Person of the Year with the subtitle, The Silence Breakers. So my white paper and my presentation today does this for you. What I've done is researched and summarized all of this legislative activity and local law activity that's been going on across the United States that is primarily in response to Me Too. And this is just sort of a summary slide of the different types of enactments that I'm going to go over for the next 30 minutes. Because it's such a short time frame, I'm not going to have time to answer your questions live, but I've been told that you can submit them through the chat and UT will get them to me, and I promise I will answer each and every one of them should you have any questions. But the white paper is chock full of a lot of information, including links to a lot of these laws and suggested policy statements and things along those lines. So similar to prior civil movements, there was this legislative response. But, you know, unlike the Mighty Who Have Fallen that got a lot of press, because as you know, in the media, sex sells, these laws didn't get a lot of press. I guess the making of legislation is just not sufficiently sexy. But as employers, obviously, you need to be informed. So let me talk briefly about the first one on the list, the change tax law. This actually happened right out of the gate in December of 2017. And that was via the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which disallows deductions for settlements paid and attorney's fees related to sexual harassment or sexual abuse if the settlement or the payment is tied to a non-disclosure obligation. And if you look at the congressional record, Congress was very clear. They said corporations should not be allowed to write off workplace sexual misconduct as a normal cost of doing business if they choose to hide that misconduct via a non-disclosure type agreement. So that was one of the earliest things that happened. Probably one of the most widespread things that happened was a requirement that employers have develop and distribute an anti-harassment policy or a notice of employee rights or both. And so if you go to the white paper, you'll find, again, these links to all the various jurisdictions. They're presented in alphabetical order with a lot of links that will take you directly to the law. In jurisdictions where they actually gave you a sample policy that you could use if you didn't want to write your own, there's links to those. Now, who has to comply with the law varies a great deal. Sometimes it's tied to the size of the business, so there's small employer exclusions. Sometimes it applies to only public sector employers, private sector employers. Increasingly, it applies to both. Sometimes it's specific to different types of industries that have unique problems with that issue. Some of the laws dictate when you have to share the information. Do you have to give it to a new employee on the first day? Do you have a certain amount of weeks or months after hire that you can get the information in their hands? Do you have to distribute it again? And in fact, many of these laws say you have to redistribute annually. Some of them tell you how you have to distribute electronically, paper, those types of things. Some take a stick approach and they have various penalties if you don't follow it correctly. And others take the carrot approach. And I wanted to show you the language from the Tennessee mandate, because it's one that follows this carrot approach. Theirs is called the Healthy Workplace Act. It came to be in 2019, and it applies only to private sector employers. It addresses abusive behavior, and notice that it says that this law will offer employers immunity from employee lawsuits alleging either negligent or intentional infliction of emotional anguish, but only if the employer has an abusive conduct prevention policy that meets the standards described in the state's guidance. So there's an example of a carrot approach. California's requirement is twofold. Employers are required to have a written anti-harassment policy that they distribute to everyone, and the law contains at least 10 elements that must be present in that particular statement. They are also required to distribute a fact sheet, which is available from the state FEP agency. The FEP agency also offers a poster and states that if you want to, you can give employees either the fact sheet or the poster, but that must be in addition to the written policy that contains the 10 elements.